In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I am glad to be with you today. I'm looking at the end of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Scripture scholars tell us that the Thessalonian, to the Colossians. The Colossians were a group of people that were getting into Gnostic stuff. They were worshiping angels and stuff, and they thought that Jesus was an angel, you know. And St. Paul tells them that he is the image of the invisible God. He is not an angel. But the part that I want to just focus upon today is the last verse to the letter to the Colossians. And he says, "The greeting is in my own hand." In other words, I've written it. "Remember my chains. Grace be with you." And so Paul ends his letter to the Colossian people by asking the people to remember his chains, that he is in jail because of the gospel. He is in house arrest in Rome because of the gospel. "Remember my chains." But in another place, the apostle will say, "But the word of God is not chained. I am chained, but the word of God, it is not chained. For the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts between the bone and the marrow. The word of God is able to do what it says." So Paul tells the people in Colossae to remember his chains, that he is in prison because of the sake of Jesus. But also he tells them in another place that the word of God is not chained, that God's word is fruitful, that God's word does what it says, that God's word cuts between the bone and the marrow. Now, Paul is an incarnation of a word of God. He is suffering for the sake of the word. He is in jail. They have placed him in house arrest in Rome. He suffers for the word of God. He is an incarnation of one of the fruit of the Spirit, its long-suffering, in jail. "Remember my chains." You know why he says that? Because the chains are for his people. The chains are for the people in the Colossian community. Paul not only is in chains, but he realizes that he is in chains for the people that he formed through the word of God. In the first chapter, he says, "Paul, an apostle of the Messiah Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and the faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you people in Colossae, for we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love you have for the saints, for the holy ones. Because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel, that came to you just as in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God. As you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of the Messiah on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Therefore, from the day we heard this, we do not cease praying for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. To live in a manner worthy of the Lord, so as to be fully pleasing in every good work and bearing fruit and knowing the knowledge of God, and strengthened with every power in accord with his glorious might for all endurance and patience. Paul is in chains for a purpose. The word of God is not chained, but Paul is in chains because he will use those chains to pray and to use it in union with the cross to bring blessing upon the communities that have been formed by the word of God. Paul knew that. Paul knew that. Paul knew that. He asked us in another place to redeem the time. Like, how can we redeem the time when there's only one redeemer? We join our life to the power of the crucified. And Paul's life now is a life of chains. And that his chains, in union with the cross, will bring blessing to the people of Colossae. This is Paul. Not only his words, but his chains. Remember my chains, he says. Because you know what? These chains are for you. These chains are for Jesus and for his body. They will not go. They will not go. They will not go unrewarded, is the word I'm looking for. My chains will not go unrewarded. For my chains are in union with the cross, and they are to bring blessing to the people formed by the word of God. Remember my chains. They are for you. He tells us in another place, he says, you have many teachers but one Father. You know, he begot them through the word of God. You have many teachers but one Father. People that say they don't call anybody Father, well, you better talk to St. Paul about it, because he says you have many teachers but one Father. He is the Father. That's just the way it is. If you don't like it, I think you better talk to St. Paul and God about it. It's in God's word. But this Father will endure chains for his children. It's like a father that, you know, got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to support his family out of love. Never saying a word, just getting up at 3, doing what he needs to do to support his family. That's what it's like. These chains are the mark of my apostleship. You think that though I'm chained, I cannot do the will of God. But I will continue to preach from where I am, and these chains will preach even louder, because these chains have meaning. They are for you, in union with the cross. This is the way Paul thinks. This is the way Paul lives. That's why he says to the people of Colossae, remember my chains. They are for you. They are for you. And the word of God is not chained. And I will continue to preach God's word. I will continue to preach God's word until I cannot preach it any longer. I will continue to preach God's word until they do me in, until they kill me, until they take my life. And even then, I will continue to preach God's word. Yes, because my death will be a death in union with Jesus Christ. I'm reading the last couple of verses of the Acts of the Apostles. Listen to what it says. Now, Paul is in jail. He remained for 2 full years in his lodgings. It was a house arrest. He received all who came to him, and with complete assurance, without hindrance, Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught them about Jesus Christ. You see, the chains could not stop him from proclaiming. They could not stop him. No chain was going to chain the word of God that was in the heart of the apostle. No house arrest was going to stop him. He would continue. He would continue. He rented a house by the sea, and he received those who came to him. without hindrance, he proclaimed God's kingdom. And he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the kingdom is always related to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his cross, to his burial, and to his resurrection. Why was he jailed? I give you Paul's testimony in Rome. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews, and then they had gathered, and he said to them, "My brothers, although I had done nothing against our people, the Jews, or our ancestral customs, I was handed over to the Romans as a prisoner from Jerusalem. After trying my case, the Romans wanted to release me because they found nothing against me deserving death or the death penalty. But when the Jews objected, I was obliged to appeal to Caesar, even though I had no accusation to make against my own nation. This is the reason, then, I have requested to see you and to speak with you, for it is on the account of the hope of Israel that I wear these chains." You see? The hope of Israel, that Israel would come to know the Messiah. "It is because of the hope of Israel that I wear these chains." They answered Paul, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, nor has any of the brothers arrived with a damaging report or rumor about you, but we should like to hear you present your views, for we know that this sect called Christianity is denounced everywhere." So they arranged a day with Paul and came to his lodgings in great numbers from early morning until evening. He expounded his position to them, bearing witness to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus from the law, from Moses, and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he had to say, while others did not believe. Without reaching any agreement among themselves, they began to leave. They began to leave. But did that stop Paul? Oh, no. Paul did what he needed to do. He would continue to proclaim the word of God. He would continue to preach. He would continue to wear chains. He would continue to be on house arrest. He would continue, because his purpose was that the word of God would change the hearts of first the Jew and then the Gentile. But they did not listen. They did not listen. And so Paul brings about the prophecy of Isaiah. When Isaiah says, "How long do I have to preach this message? Go to this people and say, you shall indeed hear, but you shall not understand." He's just preached to the Jews. They don't understand. "You shall indeed look, but you shall never see." They haven't seen. "Gross is the heart of this people. They will not hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes so that they may not see with their eyes and hear with their ears and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I would heal them. Let it be known to you this day and to God that God has sent me now to the Gentiles. They will listen." And so he remained 2 full years in these rented lodgings, and he received all who came to him with complete assurance, without hindrance, and proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he taught about Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Paul was not hampered by chains. What is stopping you from proclaiming the word of God today? Paul was not hampered by chains. He was not hampered by discouragement when the people didn't even believe. Only a couple believed. Like, what is stopping you from proclaiming the word of God today? What do your chains look like? Like, come on, what do your chains look like? Insecurity? Human respect, what you think people are going to think about you? What are your chains? I want to tell you, they're no reason. They're all excuses. There's a big difference between a reason and an excuse. A reason is valid. An excuse is just, it doesn't hold water. What is your excuse for not witnessing and proclaiming the word of God today? What's your excuse? Whatever it is, it's not good enough. Paul wore chains, and they didn't stop him, because the word of God is not chained. Is your excuse that you're insignificant? No more insignificant than Peter. Is your excuse that you don't know how to speak? No more than Moses, who stuttered. Is your excuse that you're a big sinner? No more than King David, who killed Uriah and slept with Bathsheba and was a man of blood. Is your excuse that you've turned away from the Lord? No more than David, who turned away from the Lord and came back. Well, look, what's your excuse for not proclaiming God's word? Like, what's your excuse? As a matter of fact, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't hold water. Doesn't hold water with God, and it doesn't hold water with me. Is it that you think that you're not smart enough? He chose fishermen. That you're not handsome enough? I have no idea what your excuse is. But it doesn't hold water. Paul was filled with chains. Paul was bound to a house. Paul could not leave. Some people would say he was forced to be an agoraphobic. Forced to be an agoraphobic because he couldn't leave the walls of that house. He didn't have agoraphobia because he wasn't afraid, but you know what? He was bound by the four walls of that house, but it didn't stop him. When we make up our mind, you know, no wall can stop us. When we make up our mind that we have a purpose and that it's a God-given purpose and it's been given to us by Jesus himself, when we make up our mind, no one can stop us. No one but ourselves. No one. And okay, we can make every excuse in the whole world, but they don't hold water. They don't get very far. Because excuses are not reasons. And so people perish because God's people keep on making excuses. People perish because God's people really don't care. People perish because God's people are living in a comfort zone. That's why people perish. People perish because God's people are very unlike the early Dominicans, who smelled out a sinner and went after them and prayed for them and did what they needed to do. That's why people perish. And you can make all the excuses in the world today. You know what? They don't hold water. They don't mean anything to God, and they mean nothing to me either. Because you know what? I could sit here and make excuses too. I could sit, and my excuses be much more valid than yours. Believe me, I can make them much more valid, but they wouldn't hold water. They wouldn't hold water. I've been commissioned to do what I'm doing. And so I'm trying to answer the call. Answer the call when I want to, when I don't want to. That's part of my life. But it's not only part of my life, it's your life too. You've been commissioned by the Lord. The Lord has called you to be His. You can either take advantage of that or rest on your laurels. Wait for the rapture, honey. As I say, there's no rapture. There's going to be a rupture. That's another story. God's people are just too passive. Too passive. Too passive. We won't do for the truth what the Jehovah Witnesses will do for a lie. We won't do for the truth what the Mormons will do for a lie. We won't. And so what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. People's lives aren't changed. We don't witness. We're ashamed. We think people are going to think we're weird. Well, they are going to think you're weird, but you know what? It's okay. Maybe you are weird. What's wrong with that? The whole world is weird. At least I know why I'm weird. What's getting in your way? What's getting in the way? What are your chains? I have no idea what they are, but there's no excuse. No excuse. Why? Because God chooses the weak in order to confound the wise. Why else? Because the wisdom of the cross needs to be proclaimed. Why else? Because if you don't proclaim it, the very stones will proclaim it. Why else? Because the gospel is such good news that someone's got to go and speak it out. I've found out many things since I've been ordained a priest. I've found out many, many things. One of the things I found out is many people, and religious people, are ashamed of Jesus. They'd be able to talk about anything else, but not about Jesus. They'd be able to talk about the ball game, be able to talk about the stock market, be able to talk about this, talk about that, but they're not able to talk about Jesus. I remember once being with a priest, and I was with Mary Bertha. Hallelujah. Rest in peace, Mary. Pray for me, Mary. And we were with her pastor at the time. He was a poor bum. He really was. He was one of the people who abused people. We didn't know it at the time. And Mary was starting to talk about a picture in her room, and the picture was of a captain. And she said, "That captain reminds me of God the Father." And the priest just put a kibosh right on it and said, "You know what? I don't want to talk about that." And I said, "You know, that day I lost respect for that guy. I knew nothing about what he had done. But that day I lost respect for that guy. Because here's a parishioner that needs to be listened to, and he put a kibosh on it. I don't want to talk about that." Maybe, you know, well, he had sins, I guess. You know, it's maybe that his sins might have been uncovered that day. If we talked about God the Father, you know, he doesn't want to have his sins uncovered. I don't know. But wasn't comfortable. Wasn't comfortable. Most priests aren't even comfortable praying with people. I'll send them to Father Tom. I got three of them last week. From different priests. Send them to Father Tom. He can help you. They've got the same ordination I have. We speak to the same God, but, you know, we can't pray with people. It's very interesting. It's like a carpenter not being able to make a house. When the priest is called to be the leader of prayer, you know what I'm saying? Not only at the altar, the priest, you look up and see what the priest is called to be, the leader of prayer. Not only at the altar, anyone can read a book. Oh, everybody's got an excuse. We've all got excuses. We've all got excuses. But I think the biggest excuse is we're scared stiff to let people know the truth because of what they might think about us. Which means it has nothing to do with Jesus and everything to do with you, and that's the sin of Adam, and that threw him out of the garden. Has nothing to do with Jesus and everything to do with you. Scared stiff of what people might think about you. Well, have a good day. Because you know what? Most people aren't thinking about me today anyway. They've got other things to think about. I'm not that important that people can be thinking about me. Once I make my impact and once I say what I need to say, you think they're going to be thinking about me all day? I doubt it. I'm not that important. Neither are you. But it's all about you. It's all about Adam. It's all about Eve. It's all about you and what you think about yourself and what other people are going to think about you. Rather than, you know what? You're just an adolescent. You're still 13. You're not grown up. you don't have any gumption. You have no ability to stand on your own two feet. You're always thinking about, will I be liked by the crowd? You're still 13 years old, poor bum. You might be 85. You're still 13. Get over it. Get over it. You're emotionally a dwarf. If you can't stand up for yourself, if you can't state what you believe, you are emotionally dwarfed. Too bad. Too bad. But you can change, because it's never too late. How do I change? Deliver me, Lord, from focusing upon myself, because it's so boring. Deliver me, Lord, by grace. Let it burn within me the message of salvation, that I can't help but give it. Deliver me, Lord, from focusing upon myself. Deliver me, Lord. He'll do it. Stop being 13. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up! People need to hear the word, because the word of God is not chained. I do want to tell you that we have been in debt for last month because we didn't get all that we needed. So I'm going to tell you that I need to hear from people. So if these broadcasts are a blessing, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. I'll say it again. We were in debt last month. We have not paid all. We've had to borrow money to pay July's bills. And you know what? I know God will send it in, and he will use you. Just ask him. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. On Saturday night at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, there will be a Mass followed by a healing service. It starts at 5:30 if you'd like to come. And we do have Mass on Sunday on 9 in the morning and 11 in the morning. You're welcome to come. On Friday night, we have Mass at 7:30. That's tomorrow night, followed by all-night adoration. And you're welcome to come. We don't stop during the summer. The summer is very important to God. The word of God is not changed. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.